We'll be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 33rd Psalm we hear, "Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Gracious God, our souls hunger for you to be with us this day, for it will be filled with tension and stress. But we know that you willingly provide us hope and love for our lives. We ask also, bring us a sense of joy in your presence, so we can convey with our lives and decisions that we trust in you and desire always to do that which pleases you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green is here. Senator from the 14th. Senator from 14th is here. Senator from Christian. Senator from Christian is here. Quorum being staff being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 69th day, Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Parson in the chair. Reverend Carl Gock offered the following prayer.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to the inquiry from Senator from Andrew?
Yes.
Senator, you may proceed.
Good morning, Senator. Thank you for yielding to the inquiry. You know, Senator,
morning.
I know that you are familiar with my district. It's up in the great northwest part of the state, and one
great
of my towns in the furthest part of my district, in the greatest part of the northwest, is Rockport, Missouri.
I've been to Rockport.
Rockport is a wonderful town, and there's a lot of great folks from Rockport, Missouri. It is a town that has the distinction of being, of claiming to be fully powered by wind power electricity.
You know, that's unbelievable. And what's else unbelievable is when you mentioned Rockport, a whole bunch of people in blue shirts stood up,
well,
Senator.
Isn't that amazing?
It
well,
is.
Just by chance, you know, if I had the opportunity to introduce folks from Rockport, I'd love to do that. But knowing that it's in the last 10 days of the session, I wouldn't be able to do that. But it is that's amazing that we have folks from there, and it's great that we have.
If you were able to introduce your fine friends from Rockport, I would tell you they look like a great group today. They're all coordinated.
They are.
That's something you can't even do. These kids are more coordinated than you are.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
I think we should welcome the kids from Rockport, Missouri.
Well, if that's where they're from, that would be great to welcome them.
Good.
Senator from Caldwell, purpose your eyes.
Thank you, President, for allowing the Senator from Andrew to break the rules. For the benefit of the body, Jason Rosenbaum from St. Louis Public Radio has been granted permission to take photos and video in the Senate chamber today.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Webster, what purpose you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, request a point of personal privilege.
Senate will come to the order. The Senator from Webster has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator from Webster, you may proceed.
Thank you. And it's not an introduction of special guests, but on your right and my left standing is two of my office staff. And today, actually it happened on March 10th, 1997, Doris Broker, who's worked for me, she was employed. So this is her 20th anniversary of working for senators, which is quite an accomplishment to put up with us for 20 years. But she started in March 10th, 1997. She's worked for Betty Sims, for David Quint, Joint Committee on Capital Improvements, Senator Norman Champion, Senator Rob Mayer, and myself. She's also worked in the following areas of state government, which makes her excellent with me. She's worked for a Division of Vocational Education, Office of Attorney General under John Ashcroft, Office of Governor Kit Bond, Office of Governor John Ashcroft, Missouri Department of Agriculture, Missouri Department of Revenue, and assisted in the boards and commission appointment of office. She's with the Department of Agriculture. She's secretary to the director, and Department of Revenue, she was the director of information section over the state driver's license division. It's quite a privilege to have her, and I appreciate it. Everyone stopped in for breakfast this morning, but I did want to acknowledge how much I appreciate her on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And congratulations. Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
Can I inquire, Doris, please?
Who do you want to inquire of, Senator?
I just wanted to find out who her favorite boss was, but that's okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Senator from Cape Girardeau, what purpose do you rise? Please send your remonstrance forward. Senator, do you care to explain that? Senator, you need to get your microphone on. You'd be wired up this morning.
Yes, Mr. President, with the $2.5 million reduction in state funding and the potential devastation of operation centers for independent living could cause layoffs, reductions in services, and even possible closures. The Centers for Independent Living are very cost-effective, efficient, and prudent providers of opportunities and services to people with disabilities, Mr. President. By severely cutting these funds, we risk people with disabilities of getting worse. Last year, the Center for Independent Living served 25,118 people, and currently, with a cut of 41%, they might only be able to serve 14,820 this next year. There are 22 Centers for Independent Living in Missouri. They employ 245 staff, and the cut may result in staff cuttings up to 37% reduction in staff. And Mr. President, the average funding for a Center for Independent Living is $203,897, but with that potential cut, it would be down to $120,059. So with that, I'd ask that be printed in the journal, Mr. President.
Your remonstrance will be printed in the journal. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would move that House Concurrent Resolution number 28 be brought before the body for adoption.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from Cole. Is of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, do you care to move for the adoption and explain the resolution?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of HCR 28. For the benefit of the body, the Rules Committee, you know, generally met once a week this year with lots of various resolutions, as you know, that comes before us. I think I would speak for every member of the Rules Committee when we had the folks from the Sheltered Workshop in front of us, which is what this resolution does, and specifically men and women who work in various sheltered workshops across the state come and tell us what Sheltered Workshops does for their life and how they are able to be productive. They go to work, they fulfill an important role in their communities by many times, as you know, who have Sheltered Workshop in your areas, they are partnering with local businesses where they're actually providing a valuable function to help that business with a task. Sometimes they help non-for-profits. I know I have one in Herman, Missouri, where they actually have a deal with a dry cleaners, where clothes that don't get picked up from dry cleaning eventually go to this place. They sort it, they size it. People can come in and buy actual clothing at this Sheltered Workshop. They provide a fantastic resource to our communities all across the state, and all House Concurrent Resolution 28 does is recognize the importance of having Sheltered Workshops, the importance of the men and women who work there, the impact it makes on their lives and their families' lives by letting them feel like they are productive and they have a place to go every day. I would be happy to answer any questions, Mr. President, but I would urge the body to vote for the adoption of this resolution and continue, as many of us have for many years, even before politics for a lot of us, to support the mission of our Sheltered Workshops across the state.
The Senator from Cole has moved that House Concurrent Resolution number 28 be adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard?
Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to the inquiry from the Senator from the 13th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, do you remember some of the folks that came through our committee and that testimony and how amazing it was and the difference in communication and things when we visited with these folks? She had that computer that helped her talk and helped her in her work. Senator, don't you think that this is something that everybody in this body can get behind, and we don't even have to sing to do it?
There will be no singing on the Sheltered Workshop resolution.
The Senate will come to order. The Senate will come to order for the senators to be able to hear one another. Senators, you may proceed.
I know you're especially fond when the president slams that gavel down. I know what it does. It creeps your skin out a little bit. But
you might remember
Senator Amy. She was the actual Sheltered Workshop.
Yes.
And Amy was there with her father, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And her testimony was one of the greatest kind of moments in our, in my opinion, committee this year, where it really helped put things in perspective. Because the importance that not only Amy, but her dad. Remember, she said her dad
right.
comes to the workshop and everybody says, "Hi, Joe, how you doing?"
Yeah.
She said, "They all love my dad." And so she did a great job of explaining to us. And Amy was an adult.
Well, and Amy, the impression I got from her, the first thing that flew through my head when she was testifying, because she didn't want anybody to alter her testimony or tell her what to say, I thought, boy, she'd be a great supervisor.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she will be someday. It was just remarkable, the testimony we heard that day.
She was on message. She did a great job. Nobody had to coach her. She knew what her heart said. She said what was on her mind. And I've been through, we have several Sheltered Workshops in our 7-county area. I've cooked breakfast for the employees at Sheltered Workshop down in Eldon once. And it's really a great resource for folks to get out, be productive, and they provide a benefit to the businesses and the communities they serve. So it's a win-win.
And I thank you for bringing this forward. I would imagine if we took a poll in this room, 33 senators in here right now, 33 senators would be very much in support of their Sheltered Workshops and the work they do. So thank you for this, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barry, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of Senator Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to inquire from Senator from Barry? Senator from Barry, you may proceed.
Senator, I'm very familiar with what you're doing here and what you're talking about. I'm on a board for the disabled in my county, and I have visited our workshops. I know a lot of the people that participate and work there, and I know of the benefit that work gives to a person's overall health and well-being for these disabled workers.
You know, the
kids. As I mentioned, the sheltered workshops, one of the things that the supervisors will tell you, and even the employees themselves, they don't want to miss work.
No.
They don't. Mm-hmm. And they're there. Uh-huh. And they're there early a lot of times. Some of them take a bus to get there and whatnot, but some of them get rides from relatives. And they don't want to miss work because that job that they're doing is important. And they know that.
It gives them a purpose in life to get up. And right. It's very important. But I know personally kids, young people, middle-aged people that work, and I know their names. And so I applaud this. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Senator.
Is any other senators desire to be heard? Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise? Senator, your microphone wasn't on. Who are you requiring?
Can I inquire you just for a moment?
Senator, state your inquiry.
Who's the resolution handler on this?
Senator, from this is on resolution number 28, Senator from Colt.
I would rather inquire the Senator from Colt.
Senator from Colt, do you yield to the inquiry from the Senator from Butler? Senator from Butler, you may proceed.
You hurt the feelings of the Senator from Berry there.
I kind of misstated that.
He'll be okay.
I should have had a need in there. I need to inquire the Senator from Colt. Shelter workshops are really special to me also. In Poplar Bluff and lots of my district, we have people every day that's taking them a couple hours even to get ready to try to get to work. And they take a lot of pride in their work when they get there. In Poplar Bluff alone, and I have lots of other cities, and I've visited most of them, that have shelter workshops. But I'll never forget, about 2 years ago, I was invited to come over, and we have somewhere between 120 and 140 folks working there at what we call our mag shop there, and it's real close to the industrial park. And they wanted me to come down and just, you know, visit with the folks. And I got an opportunity to stand on about four pallets, wood pallets there, so I could see everybody. And they stopped all production, and they're making... Thank you, Mr. President.
The Senate will come to order. Senators, would you take your conversations to the back of the side galleries? Senators, you may proceed.
This is not going to take very long, but I think it's very important for everybody to know what these shelter workshops mean to folks.
Right.
And anyway, so I'm standing there and telling them about how important jobs they're getting accomplished. They are. They're making parts for Briggs & Stratton and different manufacturers and very valuable stuff.
It is.
And they all take pride in their jobs. Anyway, when I got done, I spoke to them maybe 5-10 minutes and encouraging them and thanking them for what they've been doing for many years there. And I got ready to leave, and I was walking out from the manufacturing space there, and I felt the tug on the back of my jacket. And I turned around, and there was this lady standing behind me, and she goes, I almost used my name then. She says, Senator, I need to talk to you just a minute. And I said, okay. I said, what can I do for you? And she goes, well, I got a little bit of problem here. And I said, well, what's the problem? And she says, they won't let you work on Saturday and Sundays, too.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So.
That's what it means to them.
That's what it means
I'll
to
tell
them.
You, and we'll get going. We have important stuff to do.
I know
this
we
is,
do.
This is important, too.
All right.
But as you heard me mention, down in Miller County in Eldon, we have a great sheltered workshop, and they do a lot of help with local manufacturers putting right. pieces and packaging things.
Right.
And I went and cooked for them one morning. I think you and many people know one of my little things is I go around and cook pancakes all over our communities and just as a way to, you know, meet people. So I did it for the sheltered workshop. And I went to this one gentleman and I said, how were the pancakes? He said, they were horrible. And I said, they were? And he said, my mom's are better. And I said, I'm sure that's right.
Yeah.
So loyal, very loving, very great family people work there. And I will tell you quickly, if any senator or any person in this building hasn't gone to a shelter work, because they'll welcome anybody and show you what
right.
they do. You don't have to be an elected official.
No.
They love showing you what they do because they're so darn proud of what they do.
Well, every time I think about it, and I know several people, and I have some relatives that's got a little brother, he had that spinal bifida, I believe it is. And, you know, it takes, and he tries to be really independent. You know, he's got his own little van, and it's all set up where he can control it. He has to get up really, really early to get to work. But I think we all could learn a little bit about that on people appreciating their job and having meaning to get up in the morning.
Yep.
And they love their jobs. Thanks a lot, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to briefly inquire of the senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 24th?
I do.
Senator from the 24th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm so grateful to you for bringing this forward. I have visited several sheltered workshops, and the one thing that I think stands out is the dignity of all people, that we find not looking for somebody's disabilities but their abilities and saying, let's let you participate and be a member of the community, a member of our society, a productive human being. And I think that, you know, I'm sitting here remembering as we're talking about this on the floor, my experiences there and what I saw and the pride that people have in what they're able to do and accomplish. And it puts a smile on my face.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this was, these jobs, just like, just as we all take our jobs seriously, these jobs are taken seriously. They know that they have something to do and produce and that they are contributing and can go home at the end of the day tired after a good, hard day's work.
Yeah, and I have to be honest with you. Representative Rowland is the one who spearheaded this. He's the one who got the groups together. He deserves all the credit. It simply came to my committee. All of our committee was very touched by the testimony. It was fantastic. And I would tell you, and as you've been to sheltered workshops, and as the senator from Butler said, not only do you get an incredible sense of pride, an incredible sense of responsibility, but that is one place you can go to, and it is full of love. Those people love you. They love what they're doing. They love having the opportunity. They're so happy like I said, they don't know that I'm a state senator or a spaceship shuttle driver.
Right.
I probably would be a better spaceship shuttle driver, actually, anyway. They're just so happy somebody comes and cares about what they're doing and that they can show you what they're doing. It's fantastic.
Right, it is. And so I'm really grateful to Representative Rowland and to you for bringing this forward and for recognizing the importance of giving people an opportunity to demonstrate their abilities and the dignity that goes with having a job and being productive and being able to do the work. So
great.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire, Senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to inquire from the Senator
I
from
do.
The 5th? Senator from the 5th, you may proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
I just want to say to you that I do have a shelter workshop in my district as well. And I just wanted to say thank you for bringing forth such a very, very important piece of legislation for those individuals.
Right.
They are such caring people, and they are lovable. I've been there on several occasions. Actually, I've gone every year in my district just to visit with them. And so I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your support, and I agree. It's fantastic.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Cole, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Pearls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Lewis. Senator from Lewis votes aye. Senator from the 15th. Senator from the 15th votes aye. Senator from the 8th. Senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from Callaway. Senator from Callaway votes aye. Senator from Franklin. Senator from Franklin votes aye.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from Cape Girardeau, could you state your vote? Senator from Cape Girardeau votes aye. By your vote of 31... Senator from Christian.
Aye.
Senator from Christian votes aye. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 noes, the resolution have received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, can I inquire of the Senator from Barry?
Senator from Barry, do you yield to the inquiry from Senator from Cole?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Representative Rowland from your area?
Yes, he is.
He's here. I just thought everybody wanted to see the godfather of that resolution we just passed.
Wait. Yeah, no, he's not.
Oh, Independence?
Yeah, no, that, he's not the one.
You're not from Barry?
No.
Oh, perfect. You have a better senator. Anyway, I'm sorry about that, Senator, but Representative Rowland, thank you.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go the order of business of... bills on second reading.
Senator from Newton, what purpose do you rise?
House bills on second reading, Mr. President. House Committee Bill 10.
Senator from Newton.
Yes.
Senator, excuse me just a minute. Hearing no objection, we will go to the order of business of House bills for second reading. Senator from Newton, what purpose do you rise?
To follow your orders on second reading, which is starting.
You may proceed, Senator.
House Committee Bill 10.
House Committee Bill 10, an act relating to insurance proceedings.
Insurance and banking. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 619.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 619, an act relating to the public school retirement system of the City of St. Louis.
Health and pensions. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 162.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 162, an act relating to drainage ditches.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. House Bill 97.
House Bill 97, an act relating to a visiting scholar's certificate.
Education, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 293.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 293, an act relating to the use of handheld electronic wireless communications devices by persons operating motor vehicles for compensation while transporting passengers.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 219.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 19, an act relating to private probation services for misdemeanor offenders.
Judiciary, civil, and criminal jurisprudence. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 324.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 324, an act relating to truant pupils.
Education. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 746.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 746, an act relating to residential mortgage loan brokers.
Insurance and banking. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 194.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 194, an act relating to abortion.
Seniors, families, and children. House Committee Substitute, House Bills 960, 962, and 828.
House Committee Substitute for House Bills 960, 962, and 828, an act relating to a social innovation grant program.
Ways and Means, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 670.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 670, an act relating to gifted education.
Education, House Bill 743.
House Bill 743, an act relating to governmental compensation funds.
Judiciary, civil, and criminal jurisprudence. House Bill 824.
House Bill 824, an act relating to transportation safety.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 384.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 384, an act relating to confiscation of animals.
Agriculture, food production, outdoor resources. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 886.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 886, an act relating to retirement of higher education employees.
Health and pensions. House Committee Bill 7.
House Committee Bill 7, an act relating to legal expenses of state agencies.
General laws. House Committee Bill 1.
House Committee Bill 1, an act relating to judicial proceedings.
Judiciary, civil, and criminal jurisprudence. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 608.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 608, an act relating to residential dwellings offered for rent to transient guests.
Economic development. House Committee Substitute, House Bill 380.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 380, an act relating to judicial proceedings.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third read, and I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Phelps County on House Bill number 104.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. House Bill 104, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill number 104 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Phelps moves that House Bill number 104 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Bill number 104 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from Phelps moves that House Bill number 104 be third read and finally passed. Senator, do you care to explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, what this bill does is it's a repeal provisions related to prevailing wage on public works projects. And it repeals the prevailing wage law and all applicable statutory references to the prevailing wage law. You know, I'll just give a little background. We've talked about this a lot over the last 6 years, and we've offered a lot of different compromises and on, you know, doing maintenance when the Supreme Court of Missouri said that maintenance projects would be prevailing wage projects. It became a bigger issue in municipalities and counties and schools and universities paying for some of these projects. So in 1931, James J. Davis, a senator from Pennsylvania and former Secretary of Labor under three presidents, and Representative Robert L. Bacon of Long Island sponsored the Davis-Bacon Act. The Davis-Bacon Act was passed by Congress and signed into law by President Herbert Hoover on March the 3rd, 1931, and as the first prevailing wage law was passed. Leading up to the passage of the Davis-Bacon Act, in 1927, a contractor employed African-American workers from Alabama to build a Veterans Bureau hospital in the district of Congressman Bacon. Prompted by concerns about displacement of local workers by migrant workers and competitive pressure towards lower wages, Bacon introduced the first version of the bill in 1927. Over the next few years, Bacon attempted to introduce variations on prevailing wage bill 13 different times. Finally, in the midst of the Great Depression, with local workers complaining about cheap labor taking their jobs, and congressmen frustrated that their efforts to bring pork barrel projects home to their districts did not result in jobs for their constituents, the Hoover administration requested that Congress reconsider the act once more as a means of preventing falling wages. The bill was signed into law by President Hoover March 3, 1931. In 1957, Missouri enacted Little Davis-Bacon, or the first prevailing wage laws. Since that time, Missouri has artificially inflated labor rates for projects that are being paid for by tax dollars. We have seen costs associated with building public projects, shrink the size of projects, delay projects, and oftentimes projects being totally canceled due to cost. In urban areas, this may not seem quite a pressing issue, but in rural areas, this is an ongoing problem. In many cases, our schools are having trouble making needed repairs or adding new structures. Charitable organizations that receive state funds cannot afford to complete projects or have to scale the projects back tremendously. Many areas of our state and nation are hurting economically. Not only do we need new infrastructure that will be sparked by passage of this legislation, but our desperate need of the jobs that would be created by these projects. You know, in my senatorial district, there's a lot of projects that's sitting there right now just waiting to be done. They want to move forward. And the thing that's holding them up is cost. And a lot of that seems to be related to labor. There's some 19 states in the United States that does not have prevailing wage laws. Others have variations. There's 9 states, and Missouri falls into that area, where there's literally no threshold. In other words, pretty much everything that's done is a prevailing wage project. Indiana, we got a call in our office early in session. We filed this bill, and we got right to work done. And they said, you know, you guys are on the right track. You've got to repeal the prevailing wage law. They said that they did right to work, and with some difficulty, but it wasn't too bad. But when they did repeal a prevailing wage, there were a lot of problems, a lot of concerns, and a lot of protests, a lot of outcry. Now, about a year and a half into it, there's so many projects going on, and the competitive bidding process, union members are actually making about $10 an hour more without prevailing wage than they were with prevailing wage law. So it tends to be a cap, and I do think Missouri is poised to do a lot of projects to economically move forward, and I think this stumbling block out of the way would be helpful. We've done this since 1957, and we got along with it pretty well until the Supreme Court removed repair and just very small projects. And when everything became prevailing wage, it's really been hurtful, particularly in my area, which I'm most familiar with. I have many counties in Missouri that have sent letters begging that we repeal prevailing wage. Many schools are begging that we repeal prevailing wage. Universities, the municipalities, all these groups, it seems like we're penalizing any project that has taxpayer dollars involved with it. And so that's problematic. And I would ask that everyone vote for this and allow Missouri to move forward. Let's try something a little different after 60 years. And with that, Mr. President, I'll try to answer questions.
Is any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute. I'll move for its adoption. Ask for a waiver of the reading, and I will not close until it has been distributed.
Please send your substitute forward. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Do you care to move for the adoption and explain your substitute?
I move for the adoption, and yes, I will explain the substitute.
Senator, you may proceed.
The floor substitute that I will have distributed differs from the introduced version in that it removes the repeal of prevailing wage in subchapter and inserts of lieu of there a modification to the determination of the prevailing wage, such as the prevailing wage shall be equal to the average hourly wage in each county. This substitute also limits the application of prevailing wage to projects for which a contract is awarded that is more than less than $500,000. So projects that are $500,000 and under would be exempt from prevailing wage, and projects in excess of that $500,000 threshold would have the would have to have the floor would be the average hourly wage in each county as determined by the Missouri Economic Research study that is done. And the one thing that is very important, and again, I think as we have this conversation, we look at, while I probably would agree that a total repeal is something that needs to occur at some point in time, but getting us to a position to allow businesses that may have built their companies on public works projects and potentially have agreements that could be problematic for them if taking this out in all in one particular process, this allows that opportunity to exempt that those maintenance projects and projects under $500,000 from prevailing wage, but it also makes sure that every county that we know what the average wage is, and it ultimately eliminates the 28 occupational titles and the reporting that's required and the difficulty as it is as a contractor to report those 28 occupational titles as to what those workers does. And every occupation that is paid in excess of the average county wage will be in compliance. And for anyone that really understands prevailing wage as a contractor myself that understands this, the biggest problem with prevailing wage is it does not accurately reflect the county average wage or the wage the individuals that live and work in that county. As I had a conversation with the senator from Butler yesterday as to what does the average county worker that operates a motor grader potentially earn in Butler County, and that is completely different when you put out for publicly for bid and what they are paid at that point. I'm also distributing a sheet that will give you the average wages for all industrial industries and private ownership in every county in the state. And so that way you can see exactly what the average wage is. And so anyone that would argue the fact that this is not a fair wage simply has to look at the fact that this is the average wage, and we're going to require on public works projects to pay above that average. And so I believe that what this does, it simplifies this process for local contractors to be able to compete for the work that's done locally, and it isn't influenced by wages that typically occur or that are reported because the structure and reporting structure that has been designed only truly reflects areas that report from St. Louis County, Jackson County, and it basically determine and prop wages up that don't reflect the average county wage. And so I believe this is a modification. It's not total repeal. I think it's reasonable. But I think it takes us a long ways to going back and really reflecting what those individuals should be earning or would be earning if we weren't taking public dollars and forcing them to pay an inflated wage. And so with that, Mr. President, I would answer any questions.
Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to inquire from the senator from Lewis?
I do.
Senator from Lewis, you may proceed.
Thank you, and thank you for accepting my inquiry. I know I have visited with you before kind of about this, but as you were explaining it, as you put it forward, I have some questions.
Yet.
Okay. So if they're working on a public works project in a county and the operator of a dozer gets off and starts to do some carpentry work or whatever, are they going to have to pay two different rates?
No.
It is the county average.
As long as for the hours that are accumulated on that public works project, and so the reporting will be very easy. So whether you're an operator, whether you're whatever job or occupation you're doing, as long as the hours that are reported are paid in excess of that average county wage, then they will be in compliance. They won't have to list that I worked 3 hours as an operator, 3 hours as a pipe fitter, and I worked 3 hours as a laborer, and 2 hours as a truck driver. That's the complexity that has to occur with the reporting system that we have right now. And so my goal is to eliminate that to where anyone would say, you know what, your employee that does every aspect of the job, if he works on that project and you pay him for 40 hours, if his check is above the average county wage, he's in compliance with the new prevailing wage standard.
That's what I wanted to make for sure. I thought that was kind of the way, but as it was put forward today, well, I wanted to make sure, because that's the issue that people out in my area, rural areas, have, is all the cumbersome reporting that they have to do now. I think your substitute, I'd really like to see a full repeal also. But I do think this is something.
Well, I brought this out here because I do believe this is a compromise between total repeal and the status quo. And again, I think that when people realize, because the biggest prohibiting factor in prevailing wage is exactly what we described, is that companies that typically maybe from your county that don't typically participate and do public works projects really don't even like to pursue them because of the reporting structure and requirements and knowing all the regulations and making sure that they don't become in violation, because in every one of those 28 different occupational titles, and we probably could get something to show you that there's a listing for an asbestos worker, there's a listing for an electrician, for a plumber, a pipe fitter. And every one of them, you have to make sure that if that employee is working in that class, that you have paid him the appropriate wages, or he could file a grievance, and therefore you would find yourself trying to defend that as to, okay, what was he doing, you know, this on this day that he says he was claiming that he was an operator for that day, and you only paid him wages as a laborer. And therefore you see why when someone goes through that process that they are frustrated, because it's very cumbersome and troublesome in order to try to navigate through that.
Senator, we've got some people that do excellent work. They've built courthouses. They've done a lot of things that have been excellent quality worksmanship. The only thing is they don't like the paperwork. And then when somebody else from outside our county does get the bid, that money leaves the county. And I think this would help schools, nursing homes, fire departments, ambulance districts, local county governments. I mean, it's a whole list of those individuals out in the rural areas that have to rely on heating, ventilation, air conditioning, roofing, parking lot, new construction, whatever. I think you've got a pretty good substitute. Like I said, I'd really like to go on the full repeal.
Again,
I think is something that people can actually.
I think people, again, what I do have and what I am concerned about is the fact that I have met with many contractors that currently are concerned about just removing the floor all at one time and ultimately getting to the point where they can understand what the new normal is going to be when it comes to these types of projects. But someone that's built a business or has a business model that kind of relies upon public works projects, you know, I still believe that as the senator from Phelps has described, that when there's an abundance of work, you know, typically what prevailing wage has created a ceiling that doesn't get broken. But when there's an abundance of work, you know, all of a sudden now we may even go above that, because, you know, supply and demand ultimately should be what determines the wages. And in my scenario, yes, we put a floor on there, but we don't put any ceiling. So right. It doesn't mean that a contractor that has an agreement with a labor union is not going to be able to obtain work, because they can pay above that floor and they can pay to the moon as long as they can compete and get the work.
And, you know, I've got a nephew that actually he's a union worker down in by Joplin. But he goes to Kansas where he's doing the same work over there. They've got right to work and no prevailing wage. And he's making more money over there than he is in Missouri. So there's a fallacy there in what people have said as far as being paid wages.
Right.
And what these issues do to a living wage.
Well, I realize that this is a change, but I would hope that some of the people that oppose repeal would look at this as maybe a common sense compromise to something that maybe ultimately we may decide that a total repeal is absolutely the right thing to do. But maybe we stair-step this, and that's why I said putting in that $500,000 threshold, exempting maintenance and things less than $500,000, is the goal to say, okay, on those types of projects, because I give you, for instance, as I talked about the worker, but if one of my workers in the city of Sullivan, not my worker, but a city worker in Sullivan, repairs a sidewalk and they replace some curb and gutter, they're paid their wages, and I would say probably anywhere from $15 to $20 an hour is what they're paid typically to do that work. But the minute that the city says, you know what, that's a little larger job than what we can handle, we're going to put that out for public bid, that same individual that could have done that work at $15 to $18 an hour, now all of a sudden, with benefits and things that go in there, he's probably more in the $45 an hour range.
Exactly. And more to my point, more than likely, then that money will leave the county.
The
money will leave the county.
Yep.
This is the taxpayers' money of that local area, the county, and it leaves the county, more than likely.
Well, again, you know, and I've seen it time and time again in my county that a lot of times those public works are not the people that typically reside in the county where that work's being done. Their contractors are coming because, again, I've had contractor after contractor come to my office and say, you know, we don't even pursue those jobs because of the problems that we've had and what we've experienced in the reporting structure,
right,
and the problems that revolve around that. And, again, that shouldn't be a barrier for local contractors to compete on public works projects that are in their own hometown.
I'd really rather go the full repeal, but I think this might be something we can work with and keep our money local.
I wanted to get it out here for discussion.
And get our job and have jobs.
Yeah, so I wanted it out here for discussion. So.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Senator, on the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan. Senator from Buchanan does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the Senator from Buchanan. Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 14th?
Yes.
Senator from the 14th, you may proceed.
Mr. President, Senator, thank you. And I know last Friday, nearly a week ago, you had a bill on the floor dealing with ethics. And what I didn't know is if your ethics bill had anything to do with lobbyists. Was there any language dealing with lobbyists at all?
I think so. I'd have to pull out my bill and look at it. It was an amendment to the Senator from Cole's bill, and it had to do with 501c4s. So I'm not sure, but
I just wanted to let you know something that I've been wondering about this week. There's an opinion that was written in 1994, signed, I guess, by the Missouri Ethics Commission then, and the opinion number is 1994.06.113, and basically it deals with, I just want to read one sentence here, or maybe a couple. The commission believes that statute requires each lobbyist to report the name and address of each lobbyist principal by whom he or it should be or she is employed or in whose interest he appears or works. The commission will not change their opinion previously expressed and will continue to require each lobbyist to inform the commission of their principal. That principal being the person by whom he or she is employed or in whose interest he appears or she or works. So we pulled this up, and, you know, I've been having some concerns about those who are lobbying against Senate Bill 22.
Like those lobbyists for the Bridgeton landfill.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. There is a lobbyist who works on behalf of Bridgeton Landfill at the St. Louis County level only.
Oh, okay.
But it's not reported at the state level whether that entity is lobbying on behalf of Bridgeton Landfill up
well,
here.
Well, they have to put it down for both. I mean, they have to report whether, you know, lobbyists can designate themselves as state lobbyists or kind of like local lobbyists. I mean, they have to do that. So if they haven't designated themselves as a state-level lobbyist, they cannot lobby at the state level.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to go through this to let, you know, certain folks know I'm watching and reading and researching and remembering. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senators out of here, Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from Franklin County.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to the inquiry from Senator from Phelps?
Yes, I do.
Senator from Phelps, you may proceed.
Thank you. You know, you and I had talked a little bit about this at one time, but I didn't know that you were going to offer a substitute on the floor. I didn't see that one coming, so to speak. And as I've talked to you in the past, and you haven't been maybe around trying to do something about this problem for quite as long as I have, but I have, you didn't invent a new way to scan the cat here. I have tried both number, and I have also tried, I even had a bill that would just take Missouri back to the federal Davis-Bacon Act. Just use that rather than Missouri, because that was going to save a lot of money. And none of those ever got done. So I guess out of frustration and a few years of trying to move this ball forward and having a very light, weak bill about 4 years ago that actually costs rural counties more, it's kind of like beating your head against a wall. At some point, it feels good to stop. And I think, in my opinion, it should be total repeal and not repeal light, because I have tried all of this stuff.
Senator, you and I did have a conversation about this, and really what I wanted to do by bringing this substitute forward, I wanted to bring it out here for discussion and see just where people were on this particular method. I mean, I have talked to a lot of folks that, again, the moving to the Davis-Bacon model, as you had, and there was some proposals that were out there that went Davis-Bacon and a percentage of Davis-Bacon. And again, I agree with you on one thing. I'm not opposed to total repeal because of the simplification of it. I think the market drives the cost. But I'm also looking at is there a possibility to get a compromise that I believe will ultimately end up in tremendous savings on public works, cities, counties, and ultimately, again, I don't know that anyone can argue that the average county wage is not a fair wage, because that is the average for your county, my county, for that, for those individuals. And so it was very difficult when you begin, because the reporting structure to set the wage is what has been so cumbersome that no one participates in. And typically, and you understand the way the process works, that the prevailing wage is set by the most frequently reported wage. And again, but you have to look at that and you say, if I'm an employer that does not have a labor agreement, I have to figure out, because my employees are the truck driver, they are the labor, they are the pipe fitter, that same person does all those occupations. So if I have to track every hour what they do for every day, and then I have to go in and report his wages as such, I would never go through that paperwork, and I would never be able to impact that prevailing wage, because it's the most consistent wage as is reported. So contractor A that pays this employee exactly the same penny for every employee reports 40 hours, I would never be able to affect the prevailing wage. So it only reflects the most frequently earned wage. Now, I know that's one of the problems. And what I'm trying to address is eliminate those occupational titles, which I think yours does that by a total repeal, eliminates occupational titles. You don't have to do that. But there was some concerns by some people saying, well, we may be concerned that a potentially someone out of state would come in and they would drop the bottoms out of the wages in Franklin County. Well, putting a provision in there, a floor in there that says, no, you're going to at least pay the average wage in Franklin County, hopefully gives somebody a little protection to believe that, no, we can't have somebody come in there and pay, you know, $7.75 an hour on a workforce because they at least have to pay the average county wage. And so it gives some protections there. Again, I could live with total repeal. And again, maybe we'll see where this discussion goes. But you and I are trying to accomplish the same thing. And I've got a lot of projects in Franklin County that are sitting there teed up, waiting on to see what this chamber is going to do before they submit these things out for proposal at this point.
Well, I guess my concern is not knowing this was coming out, you kind of weakened the discussion on some of the problems with prevailing wages. We see it in rural Missouri, and, you know, I have letters from probably, and these are both Democrat and Republican county commissioners, literally begging for repeal. And they have seen me go through trying to make deals that would make something a little easier, or cities that want to paint a water tower that now have to pay.
That was henceforth the $500,000 threshold to repeal it at $500,000.
Which we tried to do many, many times.
Well, and again, this is only a conversation. I mean, if you want to raise that to $1 million and exempt it at $1 million and project, again, Senator, I'm not trying. I wanted to bring this out for conversation. I know that you and I have talked on multiple occasions, and I'm not trying to. I'm putting a proposal out there for a conversation to see where other people are on this particular issue. I know that you've worked very diligently on this for many years. I, as a contractor, have been dealing with this for potentially my whole career as a contractor, have had to deal with this particular issue. And I agree. Total repeal, to me, I am fine with that. I'm just putting an option out here for people to look at and say, would they have any appetite for that? And maybe perfect is where we want to get, but if we make progress, is...
The progress that we made in the past has not been very helpful, and I think the Supreme Court ruling brought this to a head, so to speak, as to how this is just not working for Missouri. Hence, 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, I filed the first total repeal because I wasn't getting any cooperation. Nothing was happening to meaningfully change how we reported, or it just wasn't working. So it became my opinion 3 years ago, this can't be fixed. And 19 states don't even have it. And a lot of those states, we got Missourians going to those states to work, because there's actually jobs that are getting paid more than they are under prevailing wage in Missouri. So to me, it does not accomplish the original idea of Little Davis Bacon in 1957 in Missouri, or 1931 federally. And it is skewed what can and cannot be done. I think until we have this discussion, till we get this done, transportation dollars, quite honestly, just do not go as far in Missouri. I mean,
no, I think hopefully you listened to my conversation with the senator from Butler yesterday about, in my analogy of a county worker and then a county project, that yeah, we have the ability to increase the amount of work that can be done with the amount of money that we're distributing to our counties and our cities on road funding by moving this needle back. And I would probably argue that most people would probably agree, when you look at the wages here, that you're probably, as long as you have a floor there, and I'm looking at Franklin County, but the average wage in Franklin's probably around $18 an hour. And I would say that that's probably fairly close to what the average is, but for someone that's probably going to be operating a motor grader, they're probably going to be paid somewhere north of that. If they are a very good operator, they're going to be more. If they're not working affiliated with a labor organization, they're probably going to be making in excess of $18 an hour. So it literally, I believe, it sets a floor that's reasonable But the ceiling, it's the sky's the limit, as you said. It could, you know, wages can increase when we take this artificial constraint out. But I do know it's a different day in Jefferson City when, you know, we elected a new governor. And so the willingness for people for the last 8 years to negotiate with you in good faith has always known at the end of, on the second floor, there was going to be that big veto stamp there, so there was no negotiation. But I think we're at a different point, because I believe that what will occur, if it's total repeal that comes out of this chamber, I think the second floor is going to pin that into law. And so I think the negotiation power has changed.
Says he's going to. I mean, in his State of the State and many of his speeches, he wants total repeal, and that's where I'm at. I guess I'm somewhat fearful this may weaken the discussion on total repeal.
Well, my goal was not to weaken the discussion, Senator. My goal was to at least bring an idea that I've been waiting for an opportunity, and I took the opportunity when I heard the conversation on transportation the other day to come out and begin to just kind of set the framework for an idea that I have had as to what I think could be maybe something could be accomplished. Again, you're not going to get an argument from me if the body says we're in for total repeal. I'm going to be there with you, but I believe I've provided an alternative just for discussion, and I will visit with you offline here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to inquire of the senator from the 13th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. Thanks for helping me out here offline with your chart. It made me understand it a little better. We've had a lot of charts in my office this year.
As well as mine, too.
Yeah. This one was really cool. This one went statewide and made full circle, and it was on prevailing wage. And some guy came running in my office one morning and says, "You have to see this chart. I've got this fabulous chart." And I go in my office and he goes, "What are you doing with my chart?" I said, "It's not your chart. This chart belongs to Jacob Brook." I said, Senator, who Jacob Brook is?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Well, you're about to.
Okay.
Jacob Brook is one of my interns, and he is my research intern. And he has worked hard on every issue this year, especially prevailing wage with spreadsheets, and he's worked on prevailing wage. He's worked on everything. He's been amazing, and I learned something new. You know these charts with these different colors on them? Do you know what they're called?
No, but share that with me.
Heat charts.
Heat charts.
Old people like us learn new things every day.
I didn't know that. I didn't have a name for that.
So. I did not either, but Jacob has just really worked hard. This summer, he's going to be working with Upward Bound and finishing his senior year at Truman, and we've been glad to have him. You know, our staff in our office has just been so blessed this year. We actually had a legal intern, too, and I was really pleased to have her because she provided me all this information piled on my desk to discuss with you today. And she's a third-year law student, Sam Gorick, at MU, but I know Sam because she went to Incarnate Word Academy with my daughters. She's a very bright young lady, and I just feel so blessed to have all of these young individuals working in and around my office and working for the Minority Caucus. It's just been incredible. And you know that we even have an intern from outside the state of Missouri.
I feel like you've got a lot of interns.
Well, they don't just work for me. They work for the entire caucus. You know, we have Chris Hornsey who works with Donnie T that everybody knows and loves and works with. Chris is a neighbor of mine. He comes from Alton, Illinois, and he too is a junior at Truman State. And we have just been, he's a political science major. And I'm grateful to have had these young people in our office and learned from them. It's not often that us older people really take the time to listen and learn from the students that work in this building, and it's invaluable. But I just wanted to share that with you before we got into this discussion so that when I start talking and visiting with you and reading the stuff to you, you know where it came from. It's not that
I also had a pretty good intern this year that actually had put together, and I don't know if we have that one of the sheets would be distributed here as well, that he worked on several spreadsheets, done a great job, our intern.
Where's
David
he,
did.
Where did he go to school?
He is a Mizzou student. And so he worked very diligently, and he's not here. Yesterday was his last day.
I bet he's listening.
Yeah, I hope he is listening. And so he done us a great job this year, and so hopefully we'll give him some credit for some of his
what
hard work, too.
What was his name?
David. And right now I'm escaping
his
last name.
Where did he go to school?
Mizzou.
Did
goes to
oh,
school
yeah, you
Mizzou.
Said that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're lucky here in
Missouri. How could I forget a name like David? But I can't remember the last name. So
we are lucky here in Missouri to have such great higher learning institutions and the students that provide services in this building. Did you know that MU actually has a program for prevailing wage over there in Columbia?
Really?
Yes,
no.
They actually have a threshold on their projects, which is $25,000, and they can do that because they're a land-grant institution, and they have an employee that polices their prevailing wage statutes for them,
okay.
Which I think is marvelous, and I think it brings good jobs to the state of Missouri, and it produces a wonderful product for them. But I'm glad you are as happy with your intern as I was with mine. And sometimes I get very nervous when it gets around December and they say you're going to have this intern, and that intern. And I'm thinking, where am I going to put them? But you know what? It always works out, and these folks have been super, and I'm just really happy to have had the experience of working with them. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President,
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator, the junior senator from St. Louis City?
Senator from the 4th, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 13th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Morning, Senator. I do not mean anything when I call you the junior senator.
I know my place.
Confuse your number with the other senator from the city of St. Louis, and my desk is covered. I always confuse the 4th and the 5th.
That's all right, Senator. As I said, I know my place. I'm happy to.
Well, Senator, your place is in the city of St. Louis, and that's a really great place to be in.
It is. It is.
What do you think about all this?
Well, Senator, I was going to inquire the senator from Franklin, and he's not in here, but let me just say something about the substitute he just offered and the exchange I just heard between the senator from Franklin and the senator from Phelps. Senator from Franklin and I, when we were both over in the House, we've had some fairly heated exchanges on the floor of the House over labor issues particularly. And as things tend to do over in the House, they can escalate very quickly, as you know. And we've always had some disagreements. But I want to thank the senator from Franklin. Even though I know he is in favor of total repeal, I want to defend his right to, and every senator's right on this floor, to offer a substitute on an issue on any bill. And I think that when we get up on the floor and say we're upset that you offered a substitute and didn't talk to me about it, this is an issue that I know that he's been working on behind the scenes all year, and I know that the senator from Phelps knows that as well. So while I may not like his idea, I certainly appreciate his willingness to try to come up with an alternative solution and defend his right to bring that solution to the floor of the Senate and not give him trouble for trying to find an alternative path. And so I want to say thank you to the senator from Franklin for doing that. Even though we are on totally different sides of this issue, I do appreciate what he's trying to do. So
well, and
I'll
I
leave
hope,
my rant right there.
Well, yeah, and we don't, you know, there's not a lot of rants in the Missouri Senate. There was when I was in the House, and it's vastly different. I mean, the senator from Phelps and I have disagreed on this issue 4 years, and we have had many, many conversations on this Senate floor on this issue and other labor issues. And this really here to me is not a labor issue. This is an economic issue. Most of the folks that I heard from were contractors. And so to me, it's a business It's a business issue, and we have a business model in this state. And right now, if we would pick up full repeal or the substitute, we're going to cut the legs off the business men and women across the state that have already laid out their work for the next year or so. But we'll talk about that as we go on through the day. I have some ideas, too. And the senator is right. I don't have a backstop anymore. And I can understand why he would like full repeal, but he is one of the few contractors, even the contractor that I always battled in the House, does not support a full repeal, which shocked me. It completely took me by surprise. And he was a contractor that did the kind of work I did for a living. Fact of the matter is, when these contractors don't get the jobs, our contractors here in our state that pay taxes and that move our economy forward, then I don't get the job because I don't come from out of state. There are so many examples. Earlier when I was in the House, earlier when I started up here, they were building all kinds of things in rural Missouri, ethanol and biodiesel facilities. I don't know if you were familiar with that, Senator, and what was going on. I've got a book that's this thick, and you know, you can change words around, but you can't change pictures. Well, I guess you can, but usually pictures tell a story. Do you know that many of those were built by out-of-state contractors? And we had elected officials that served in the body across the hall that were proud of that. They were sitting in these trucks waving and getting their picture taken, and I'm watching the truck go, thinking, there go jobs out of the state of Missouri, and there goes the money with them for this big fancy ethanol plant in northern Missouri or wherever. But to me, it was crazy, and that's when I started looking into this issue. We always talk about technology. Technology moves us forward. But you know what? When we don't keep these things in Missouri and work with our contractors to make them successful, this is just a tool. This is a tool that it's been proven time again that it doesn't work to eliminate it. Yeah, Kansas does not have a prevailing wage law. And you know what? Many of our friends that you and I work with in our real jobs that work on the western side of the state, we had a meeting a couple months ago, and they couldn't come to our meeting. You know why they couldn't come?
Why is that?
Because the state of Kansas wants to reinstate their prevailing wage law. And they were going to go and testify in favor of that. So even after they repealed it, many of their lawmakers, and this was somebody in the majority that was wanting to move that bill forward. Out of all 50 states, 29 of our states have some form of prevailing wage laws. So they must work. And when I look at the states that don't have them, I also look at the average wage. And when I look at the average county wages and what you would be making a year, some of these wages that are here are below the poverty level. $11.09 an hour. So does that mean that that's what they'd have to bid on? Well, is that what that means? Are you looking at this? We're talking about the charts, and this one was...
We're talking about the average county wage chart.
Yeah, the chart that was distributed by the senator from Franklin. So I'm looking right now, Oregon County, right?
Yep.
The average county wage is $11.31 an hour. So that means you'd make about $23,500 a year. Now, does that mean that everybody on that project, if we went with his substitute, does that mean that all the workers would be making that wage? Now, I get that he could pay them more if he wanted, but if he bid the job at $11.31 an hour plus benefits, how is he going to make money if he pays them more? I don't know. I'm legitimately asking that question, and I'm particularly looking at Oregon County. In 23.5.
So, Senator, I was going to ask
I'd probably spend that on gas a year driving.
Yeah.
I was going to ask this question to the senator from Franklin, and maybe you know. So can you explain to me exactly how the county average wage is calculated, or do you know? I guess I'm curious.
I do not know how the hourly wage is calculated, but...
Does that include wages and benefits as well?
I hope not.
That's my question.
I don't know. You can save that question for him, because I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
But I, you know...
Senator, let me ask you a question. Do you know a skilled contractor that pays their employees $10 an hour?
I do not.
Or do I?
Not even on the, you know, and it's no secret to anybody in this room. We are used to dealing, you and I, with collective bargaining agreements. But even the folks I know on the non-organized side or the non-union side, I don't know anybody that pays that low of a wage. I mean, I've got a neighbor that has some kind of business where... Well, what they do is they pour all this stuff on the floors, and there's sparkles in it, and it looks really nice. It's some kind of sealant. Then they walk around on it with golf shoes. So do you know what I'm talking about? They put it on basement floors.
Epoxy.
It's some kind of epoxy.
Sure.
In my world, painters would do it, but he's a non-union contractor. And I know a lot of the folks in the neighborhood that have worked for him. I see his crew around a lot. And I know they're making much more than that. I mean, they're not making, I don't know what they're making, but I know they're making more than $10 an hour. And when I look at these county wages, even though many of them and most of them are above that, it's still not often, a lot of times, a living wage. Now, there's going to be an argument made, well, yeah, in metropolitan areas, it costs more to live. But when you get to a point that your child is 18 and they're heading off to the university, that price doesn't change because of your zip code. The cost of that tuition at that university is still going to be $40,000 for an education or $50,000, what it is, no matter if you make $45 an hour or you make $11 an hour. You still got to come up with the money if you want your kid to go to that university and you're going to be paying tuition. It's just a matter of fact.
Senator,
that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm...
I absolutely see where you're coming from. You know, let me point something out. Last night, in the course of the discussion, well, I guess there wasn't much discussion on the minimum wage bill, we heard that $10 an hour was too high because people were going to start out at a lower wage and build up and learn a skill. And that's how they would advance to get a higher wage in life. So I'm just curious. So if you're going to start out at a fast food restaurant at $7.25, I guess if you learn a skill, you can hope to advance to $10 an hour job and stay there, right? Is that what we're hearing? So it's two things. So $10 for St. Louis City is too high. What we want to aspire to is Oregon County. When they learn a skill as a construction worker, they can get all the way up to $10 an hour. What a deal for them. I'm sure they're living real high on the hog off $10 an hour.
And I don't, you know, I don't want to go back to the times where, like you said, that you had some heated discussions over in the House with the senator from Franklin, because when I was over there, they did get heated.
And I agree, Senator, and that was my point, is I just wanted to say thank you to the senator from Franklin for bringing forward at least some type of alternative that we can have a good, calm discussion on. I'm just getting a little, frustrated this late in session when I keep hearing who the bad guy always is, and it's always anybody that's not the owner of a business making money, and it's always everyone else down the line that is,
Senator,
the problem.
Senator, au contraire, because look at this list. See this list I have? Well, you can't, because you can't turn around. But I have a list of union and non-union contractors throughout the state that is lengthy, that do not want to repeal. And they do not want to get rid of ACT titles.
Isn't it funny, Senator, that it doesn't seem to be a union or a non-union issue? This is a a local contractor issue?
It is. And everything in this building comes down to money. And here we are, once again, coming down to money. A little bit of money for the worker bee and a lot of money for a small group of people at the very top, not even for our state, our contractors across the state. We don't even want them to have theirs anymore. And I understand that small contractors, some of them, might do work, and they have a guy that in the morning he's in the job site sweeping up the floors, and then about after coffee break he's going to go do some wiring, or he's going to go in and he's going to do a plumbing set or something, and it's a problem for that contractor to file the paperwork of prevailing wage for the act titles. Well, all the contractors I know that work on these jobs, like a school job, and I, and so have you, have worked alongside of contractors who are not signatory to collective bargaining units on these jobs, right? So they're filling out the paperwork, and they usually only have one or two crafts working for them. So I don't see that as burdensome, because they don't have 50 different act titles working for them, or even usually 10 act titles for them. And if they do, they're probably not big enough to do a job that a school is putting on a 10-classroom addition, or a hospital is putting three more floors up, or City Hall needs a new police station or something. They're not big enough to do that. To me, that sounds like a rinky-dink operation, and I don't mean to diminish anybody's business, but I just don't see very small contractors that has two or three guys doing the same job day in and out and all these different crossover crafts getting these jobs and doing them. I could go on and on. I have always gotten upset with school districts that don't like prevailing wage, right? And they're usually in outstate Missouri. So, you know, you look at some of these counties we talked about, and even if you pay somebody $15 an hour, it's still around $31,000 a year, right?
Right.
But that school superintendent, I'll bet you in this county where this wage is probably making, if not over, close to six figures. That's my problem. You can have it, but... Or we can have it, but you can't have it. It just seems, I don't know, it's just unfair. But we can visit later if you have some questions for the senator from Franklin, and I will... don't worry, they'll find them.
Let me run through a couple of things with you since
Absolutely.
We're talking, unless you need to go and talk.
No, I don't need to go anywhere. I'm here for till 6 o'clock tomorrow night. I work here.
Senator for 11th
and then I'll
is always
be back
bored.
In
so.
January. I'm sorry?
Senator from the 11th is always bored, so if you have to go, just let me know and we'll...
You know, but there's one thing he does well. He has beautiful children and a wonderful wife. It was a pleasure yesterday spending time with his daughters and his bride. It was really fun.
Well, they put up with a lot.
You know, I don't know what it is, but I must enjoy spending time with little kids more than I do grown-ups, because I take a terrible picture. But every time somebody catches me with a kid in my hand, I'm fine. It's a pretty decent photo. And that's what happened yesterday. And it was he was kind enough to send a copy to my office of that photo of me and Sophia. And she just stood there in my arms, and that's my daddy. That's my daddy. She really wanted to run out onto the Senate floor, but I would have hated for the president to gavel her. So what did you want to run through,
so,
Senator?
So I want to talk about the dollar threshold and some of my concerns that I have with those dollar thresholds.
All right.
I've always, you know, I know that idea has been floated out there, and we never seem to come up with a way to get around one of the things that that I'm concerned with. And then let's just take, since we were talking about school projects and superintendents, let's just say we have this $500,000 threshold, and for the sake of the argument, we were talking about remodeling work on a school district over the summer. So if we set the threshold at $500,000, and we're talking about, let's say, redoing 15 classrooms in a particular school over the course of a summer. Then the total project is $1.5 million. What is to stop that school district from parceling out all of those different classrooms as an individual project to get under that wage threshold or under that $500,000 threshold?
I don't know. And you know, it doesn't matter because $500,000 is a lot of money. It does matter, don't get me wrong. But that's a lot of money if you're a painting contractor. Most of their jobs are well under that, especially these school jobs. They can come in and paint many classrooms, many, many classrooms. You know, it just, I don't know.
Well, and it always seems to be that.
I don't know if there's any safety there to prevent that.
That trade is always at the forefront because of those thresholds. And I think that for your and I's sake, there's a lot of things that probably could have been done with those thresholds because of the amount of cost associated with some of the bigger pieces of projects. But when we are concerned with those smaller painting contractors, that, as you said, that's a high dollar figure for that particular piece of the pie, and then that this would almost eliminate them from having a prevailing wage when it comes to going into remodeling, painting any of the classrooms.
Sure, and there's a lot. You know, there's a lot of work that's going to start up here pretty soon. And you know what people need to understand? I know that you and I happen to be members of labor unions, but this is not a union or a non-union thing.
No.
We had our union meeting Friday night, and they do, as I'm sure they do at yours and many others, they give the business agents and business manager, they give reports on upcoming work, right? This time of year, a lot of the powerhouses are coming down, and a lot of the school work is starting, and that's what it was. It was a lot of schools. They let us know what school projects they had, and they went through them, and they're like, we got this one, we got this one. No, the non-union contractor got that one. And it was kind of probably 75% of the work we got. They got 25% of the work for the upcoming summer coming up and into the fall. Now, all this has to be done, of course, as you know, before school starts. So it's going to be, and I don't know how they bid them, because at the end, everybody's going to be working 6 and 7 days a week to get them done, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, as those summers I've noticed, and, you know, when I was out in the field, those summers continue to get shorter and shorter.
They
but
do.
The projects,
I'm glad that my
the projects
kids are
still take
school.
The same amount of time. So there seems to be quite a rush.
Three senators standing. Senator from Fells, what purpose do you rise?
Would you please lay this wonderful bill on the informal calendar?
This bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Sorry to disappoint the senator from the 13th on that motion. She's very disappointed. First of all, Mr. President, for the benefit of the body, Summer Ballantyne from Association Press has been granted permission to take photos and videos in the chamber.
Thank
additionally,
you,
additionally, Mr. President, would you inquire from the secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I'd ask those to please be read.
There are messages from the House, Madam Secretary. Please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 49 with House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 1, House Amendment 1 as amended. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 30 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Newton, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a conference committee appointment, and I'll send it forward and ask to be read.
Please send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the conference.
Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 30 as amended. Senators Sater, Hageman, Cunningham, Walsh, Shoup.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from the 13th District, located in North St. Louis County, for a privilege motion on Senate Bill 49.
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a privilege motion.
State your privilege motion.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 49 be taken up for third reading and set upon its final passage.
You heard the motion made by the senator from the 13th. Those of opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is in front of the body. Senator from the 13th.
Mr. President, this came back from the House with two amendments on it. I think they're both very good amendments. One of them was for the senator from the 8th, and it has to do with IBM, and it doesn't do anything but leave everything as is now till they can work out an agreement over the next year. And if he is in the body, I'm sure he can explain that to you. And the other amendment was from The other one was from Representative Hafner, cleaning up some language of mine and making it a little bit tighter.
Senator,
and with that, Mr. President, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Senator from the 13th, we are on Amendment 1.
Yes. And that was on behalf of the senator from the 8th, and I'm sure that he would be happy to entertain any questions on that.
Senator, you need to move for the adoption of Amendment 1 as amended.
Mr. President, I move for House Amendment number 1 to House Amendment number 1.
As
amended.
All right. The Senator from the 13th moves that House Amendment number 1 as amended to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 49 be adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard on the amendment? Senator from the 2nd, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire with the Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, you yield?
I do.
Senator from the 2nd, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. So what I have in front of me, I'm not sure I have a complete packet. I think I do.
You only have two amendments,
So
Senator.
I have the two amendments. So,
yes.
So I take it what's before us is the House basically passed your amendment. Passed Senate Bill 49. The text of the Senate perfected version, they didn't. I'll let you read that or deal with that.
I can't read it.
Okay, maybe someone needs to rewrite it and send it back to you.
We will adopt House Amendment 1 as amended only. Okay. Gathering from the front desk, we are taking up the House the amendment to the amendment, not the amendment.
Right.
Right? And
right.
That is the 05. Dates that...
That's 05H, right?
Right.
Okay.
05H, yeah. And those are the dates, if you recall, we wanted to get those in there so people didn't stack and go over the limits from, right. I believe.
And that was represented by the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th right. Amendment.
Okay. Yeah, and I was supportive of that. And what this is some cleanup language
yes,
for
it
his
is,
amendment?
Yes, because there was, and I can't, you know, I had all the talking points stuck right here, but, and here they come.
All right. Well, I'll let you talk away.
Okay. And, you know, if you'll just bear with me a minute.
No hurry.
There was some counties that had exceeded the 1%. We don't want to hurt them, so we're kind of grandfathering them in.
Okay. Okay.
I'm grateful to the representative from St. Louis County for picking up on this and taking care of it. But
you've discussed that issue with the senator from the 15th? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
The Senate will come to order. The Senate will come to order. If you take a conversation to the side gallery, the rear of the chamber. Senators, you may proceed.
So, okay. In fact, again, given that it's his amendment, I might, you know, inquire of him, making sure everything lines up. And then I see, and again, okay, good. And I see the, and I guess we'll
second
be
second amendment?
Yeah, it will be on Amendment 1, the underlying amendment, in a second. And I see something shall not send notice to any taxpayer under subsection 2 of...
Well, and I think that the senator from the 8th came down to explain that. I think they're at loggerhead here on something, and all this amendment is doing is to let the status quo remain in place until they can work on this next year and come
gotcha.
To a resolution.
Okay.
Because I, you know, it was on there, and I'm like, you need to explain this to me. And
right.
He said it's not what it originally was that we discussed, but I'm sure that he would be happy to take.
Well, it's my understanding that the Amendment 1, to Amendment 1, the senator from the 15th is happy with this, and
right.
that's good. And maybe we'll let the senator from the 8th, who's in the chamber next
and
to
I,
his desk.
And I, you know, I yeah. think, and if I look up at the dais, they'll shake their heads yes or no at me. And I think this is treated as one amendment, both of these amendments, so we only
right.
need one motion
one
to adopt the whole package. But that's what's in the package, and if you'd like to visit with the senator from the 8th, I'll kind of step back and let you go.
Well, just my only other question of you is those were the only two changes
yes,
to the perfected
senator,
version
were.
Of SB 49 that we passed out of this
Absolutely,
body.
As I committed to you and the senator from the 15th, and I will say in fairness that if I had had any other changes, I'd have hunted you down and we'd have had
I suspect you would have
because I know you're interested
well,
in
you've
this.
Well, you've always been extremely fair and extremely transparent in
well,
what you do
and
in this
I appreciate
chamber.
You working with me. It's not often that somebody as conservative as you and somebody is a little further to the left than I can come together on issues,
yep.
and it's nice
well,
when we do, because the people still need to know that we are friends in this chamber.
Well, we are friends, definitely, Senator. And you know, and again, whether I can quite bring myself to vote for the underlying bill, which is a new tax, but at least you've worked very hard to satisfy some of my initial concerns.
You know what,
concerns.
Senator? I have to drop this on you because it was dropped on me the other day, and I know where you come from. You come from Afton in St. Louis County.
I do.
Good old St. Dominic's. You know the one good thing about South County?
What's that?
The bus heading to North County.
There you go. I don't know if I agree with that either, Senator.
Well,
but
a former colleague, or not a colleague, but somebody that served in this body always hits me with that, and she was probably one of your classmates.
You know, I spent a lot more time on Kings Highway on the southbound bus because I could always get a ride to school in a car, but because of sports and things, I always would get home on that southbound Kings Highway bus. So I am very fond of the southbound buses, Senator. So we found another thing to disagree with. But thank you for the inquiry, and thank you for your hard work
thank
on this
you.
Bill. Thank you.
Senator from the 2nd, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to inquire with the Senator from the 2nd.
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, thank you for the inquiry. And just briefly, I see in Senate Amendment 1, 2, I'm sorry, House Amendment 1, 2, House Amendment 2, something, I'm sorry, the underlying amendment, House Amendment 1, I see something that looks like IBM language. Could you explain that to
yeah,
us?
Yeah, so we have been working since last year to come up with a solution for this court case that happened early in April of last year
right.
That really derails some previous court rulings on Bell 1 and Bell 2. We got that language late this year once the new director of revenue was on board. We got the language we thought was good and everything. It got all the way over to a rules committee in the House.
Right.
And the chairman is opposed to that language, to the language. He wants to allow the tax commission to do the work.
Okay.
And so what we've decided to do, and the rules chair over there has agreed to, is do another one-year delay.
Right.
That the court ruling will not be implemented until we have a chance to do the interim, not the interim committee, but the governor's commission on studying the taxes.
So
that's what this is. It's one more year delay to allow us a little additional time before implementing the court case. So that's what this amendment does.
Not a problem at all. No, I appreciate that. And of course the IBM, a fixed bill has gone through Ways and Means, and of course you and I have both worked on that and I've been supportive of that along the way. And finding it in the zoo tax bill was just unusual. But no, I appreciate the inquiry, Senator, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from the 13th, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The Senator from the 13th renews her motion that House Amendment Number 1 be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. I'm sorry, those of the opinion will vote aye. Those of the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaff, Schatz, Shoup, Sipton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 7th. Senator from the 7th votes aye. Senator from Webster. Senator from Webster votes aye. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from Green. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 noes, the House Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Senator from the 13th.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill Number 49 as amended be read a third time and put upon its final passage.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from the 13th. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard on the bill? Hearing none, Senator from the 13th, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I'd like to thank everybody that helped me move this great piece of legislation through and for supporting the St. Louis Zoo and the wonderful things that happen there for our families and people throughout the country. And with that, Mr. President, I close.
The Senator from 13th moves that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 49, as amended, be read a third time and finally pass. Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail will vote aye. Those to the contrary will vote no. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 49, an act relating to local sales taxes. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon.
Aye.
Igel. Emery. Hageman. Holzman. Hoskins.
Aye.
Hummel. Kehoe. Koenig. Krauss. Leibla. Munslinger. Nasheed. Onder. Richard. Riddle. Rizzo. Romine. Rowden. Sater. Schoff. Schatz. Shoup. Sifton. Sylvie. Wallingford. Walsh. Wasson. Whelan.
Senator from the 7th. Senator from the 7th votes aye. Senator from the 2nd, could you repeat your vote? Senator from the 2nd votes no. By your vote of 31 ayes and 2 noes, the bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 292. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 95, entitled An Act Relating to Local Government Financial Transactions, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 279, in which respectfully submitted Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please recognize the senator from Barry County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 95?
Senator from Barry, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privileged motion.
State your privileged motion.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate refuse to concur in House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 95 as amended, and requests the House recede on the House Committee Substitute as amended and take up and pass Senate Bill 95.
The senator from Barry moves the Senate refuse to concur with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 95 as amended, and requests the House to recede from its position, or failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon. Does any... Let me restate the motion. I move that Senate refuse to concur on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 95 as amended, and request the House recede on House Committee Substitute as amended and take up and pass Senate Bill 95. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Barry, recognized. Close.
I close.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from Barry. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize the senator from Greene County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 128?
Senator from Greene, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that the conferees, the Senate conferees, on the conference committee for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 128 be allowed to exceed the differences in conference.
You've heard the motion made by the senator from Greene. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Greene.
Senator from Greene, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from the 24th? Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, tell me where and in what way you want to exceed the differences.
Well, the senator from the 15th is listening, and he can give you details. This is the only thing we're going to exceed on. My proposal that would be that we add this, what I think is very important, power of attorney language dealing with crisis situations, and it is language that already passed this body by a vote of 33-0.
Okay.
And he can explain maybe the details, but I'm fully supportive of it. The House has already made the motion to exceed. Our conferees are meeting here on recess, so I wanted to get this in before we
And that's the only thing that you will exceed the differences on?
That's the only thing that I'm willing to exceed the differences on.
All right, well,
yes.
That satisfies me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Barton.
Yes.
Senator from Barton, you may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I'm not sure I followed that.
Yeah,
can you explain what we're exceeding on?
Yeah, sure. I have a Senate Bill 195, and it's stuck in the rules. And after talking to the speaker, they said this is a good fit for it. It passed the Senate 33-0, and the senator from Greene agreed to that would be okay, and that's the only plan.
What does it consist of? What is it?
It's a safe families bill. It's designed to help kids that are in crisis situations. Maybe you have a family that's there's no state money; it's all private dollars, and it's designed to protect parents who take that action to pass custody of their kids over to.
I think I remember it now. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you taking my inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Greene, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Greene renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 128 for the conferees to exceed the difference. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion is adopted. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an announcement.
You may proceed.
Conference Committee on House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 112 is going to meet in the Pershing Conference Room at 12:30. We had motioned for morning recess, and so that will give senators a brief time. If they can be there, Senators Hake, Senators from Andrew, I'll go through the list, but they realize who's on the conference. So,
announcements. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Similar announcement, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 421 will be meeting at the Bingham Gallery shortly upon adjournment. So, thank you.
Senator from Barry, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, on Senate Bill 30, we will meet upon recess in the Senate Lounge. This is for the conferees.
Announcements. Senator from Greene, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, which was scheduled to meet on morning recess, will be meeting on evening recess.
Announcements. Senator from Webster, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Conference Committee on Senate Bill 35 was supposed to meet at 1 o'clock. It has been changed to 12:45 in the Bingham Gallery. Thank you.
Announcements. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. The Senate shall stand in recess until 1330 this day.
The Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand in recess till 1:30 this day. All those in favor of that motion say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand at recess till 1:30 this day.